Building Your Wellness Brand in the Community. I'm Dr. Randy Ross, and I have one of my esteemed colleagues, Dr. Alan Weinstein, who we're going to toss it to open our show. Dr. Alan?
Well, thanks. Glad to be here as usual. Again, as Dr. Randy said, welcome to Building Your Wellness Brand Within Your Community. We're going to give our sponsors a little do, and then we'll come back and start the show. Today's event is brought to you by Community Wellness Day. Every great opportunity begins with the first step. Take that step with Community Wellness Day. And of course, the system, the official marketing program of healthcare professionals throughout the country, Canada, and other parts of the world, and the VIP app, the official app that literally allows you to broadcast your live Google Hangouts on the desktop, iPhone, and iPad of all the people that have you in their circles. Today, we're talking about, here we go, community health program, why your station can either make or lose you money. Dr. Randy?
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Alan, for those opening credits and comments. Today is something that we're going to talk about that a lot of people really don't understand. You know, a lot of people, either kind of one or two things, either they've followed a process about how to do some type of screening, whatever your particular specialty is, or they really have no idea and they go out there and wing it. And there's some really important things to remember in this aspect, because you can make it, you can really make this something that has a major impact on your business. So we're going to talk about this, just so you understand, under the guides of if you're hosting a community health program, but also understand that these concepts hold true for if you're participating in another event and you have a station there. So this is important to understand. We're kind of crossing over boundaries here. So a few of the things that are really important, I'm going to start with, believe it or not, your appearance. And a lot of people go into being at an event, and very often they think because it's like a community thing and it's very casual that you still shouldn't be dressed professionally. You still want to make sure that you and your team, and this is important too, that you know that you're looking professional. And that's not to say everybody doesn't have to go there in a suit. You may be wearing, in our case, we often recommend that that teams wear Community Wellness Day t-shirts and then the same kind of pants, like khakis or something that's a little nicer than jeans. But understanding that you still want to look professional is really important. Please don't go to an event as a professional, whatever your specialty is, in like jean shorts and a t-shirt and sneakers and things like that. I'm going to share, Dr. Allen's going to make some notes as we go along here, because it's just not appropriate. Here's what you have to understand, and this is kind of going to lay the foundation for everything I'm going to share with you here today. Very often, someone's impression of you initially is the overall appearance, and it might be you, how you and your team appear, or your station, and we're going to go into that in detail. And what goes on in someone's mind is, and someone's professional, if their station looks professional, if they look organized, you know, if they look like they know what they're doing, I call it the well-oiled machine appearance. That's what someone's impression is of you. If you have the opposite, let's say, you know, you don't look professional, your station doesn't look professional, we're going to give examples of that as we go on here. What happens is, someone's mind, whether it's conscious or unconscious, is going to start to have this preconceived notion of this is what their experience would be like if they came into your office for your services. So instantly, you're cutting yourself off at the knees for a lot of people simply by appearance. Okay, so that's the first thing. Now we'll talk about appearance of your actual station. And I can't tell you, this drives me crazy, Dr. Allen. When I go out to an event, or even like I live outside of New York City, so we're in the city all the time. There's all kinds of health fairs and street fairs and all things. And it drives me crazy when I walk past a health provider station and it just looks like they have put absolutely no thought into this. absolutely no investment in this. You know, the same way you invest in the appearance of your office and the structure of your office and the flow of your office, you should invest in having a nice space. Now, there's a lot of ways to do this. You know, you can probably, for anywhere from $500, you could get a custom tablecloth that has your logo. You could get, and you could see, I always never know which way to lean in these things. You can see here, like behind me, we have banners. Actually, when Dr. Allen comes back, he has one behind him. These are things today, you know, years ago, they used to be really costly. But today, what you can simply do is go online to Staples or something like that, and these things are under $50. You can make different ones for different events. You can use them over and over again. So a few simple things, like some banners, and some of them are more expensive. There are roll-up ones that you can invest in. Nice tablecloth. And here's something that a lot of people don't understand. Make a mock setup of your station. So we train our people, this is something I'm really emphatic about, when you're planning, when we get to the later stages of planning our events and we start talking about what your station looks like, I say, I want you to set up your station just like you would if it was the day of your event. And I want you to take a picture of it. And I want you to look at it. And I want you to decide, does that look really professional? Because if it doesn't, then you know it's something you need to work on. And better to know this ahead of time than when you're out there and you kind of step back and you look at your station and go, all right, it's like a little bland looking, it's a little boring. And the other thing about making your station look appealing is more people will stop and talk to you. If your station is really nice, really professional, and again, you can do this in a lot of directions. I mean, you could probably do it for anywhere from $500 upwards of, you know, to really create a custom station is like $50,000. But I don't want you to invest that kind of money, but I want you to understand, you do have to understand that this is not just, oh, well, someone invited me to an event, so I'm just going to throw some brochures and business cards in a box, and we'll just go out there and wing it. You know what? If that's your attitude, don't even do it. It's really important. So you're going to do this kind of mock setup of your station. The other great thing about doing a mock setup and taking a picture is the day of your event, you don't have to remember where things go. You know, sometimes you're busy and you don't remember what it was, or maybe one of your staff members actually got there earlier to get everything set up. This way, you could just, you know, forward over the picture to their phone, and they have it, and they go, okay, this is exactly how, you know, the doctor or the owner of the facility wants our station set up. The other thing you want to look at is, what type of materials are you presenting? And I know this is going to sound crazy, you know, but you'd be surprised how many people hand out materials that don't have their contact information on it. So it's some of the little things that make a huge difference. The other thing that you want to make sure is that you're not, also if you're including things in a welcome bag, which at a lot of events you get an opportunity to do, especially in a welcome bag, maybe not as much at your station, you want to make sure that it's something a little more generic about what you do, so you appeal to more people. If it's too specialized, unless you have a very special niche and that's what you do, obviously this wouldn't apply to you, but you want to provide something that will maybe just be of interest to people on a more broader scale, not something that's very, very specific and you know, maybe over-teaching something at that point. You want to keep it a little more generic. So now once you've set up your station, it shouldn't be very bare or barren. I see that all the time where there's like, you know, a couple of trifolds and business cards on a table. Again, it should be appealing. You know, there are, again, some other things that you can do that are really inexpensive, or you can create, you know, poster size. You can do a little, like a flyer about yourself. You could have that created also at Staples or any store like that. You could have that done for probably $10 to $15. You know, again, make your station look nice and professional. Make sure that there's information not only about your particular services, but what do you have coming up? Do you have a series of workshops in your office that you do? that's something that you would want to have really displayed really prominently on a larger scale, you know, like a poster size on a poster board that you could stand on your table or put on an easel. Those are the kind of things that attract people's attention. Oh, there's a workshop coming up, you know, on stress or on, you know, healthy diets or things like that. Really nice and big so they could see an image and very few words. That's what catches people's attention. So those are things that you want to share with people. Obviously, you want to have information, you know, to hand out about special services that you have. Okay, so that kind of covers the general information and what your booth should look at. If you're ever not sure if your booth looks right, professional, and is going to get you the outcomes you're looking for, I welcome you to take a picture of it and email it to me at drrandy@communitywellnessday.com. You can find me on Facebook, or you'll click here at, during this, if it's a recording, you'll see a place where you can contact me. And I'm happy to share my thoughts on that with you and let you know, hey, you know what, this is okay, but this really isn't good. Again, the idea of being at an event is that people coming by want to stop and see what you have to offer. The initial thing is drawn by their eyes. It's kind of like food. Why is so much effort put into in a restaurant what your meal looks like? It's very important. You know, they say we eat with our eyes, so to speak. Well, this is that same thing. We're going to draw people in based on what we have there. Now, there are some things that people do to make sure that people come to their event. You can, some people call them little gimmicks. You can invest in a wheel, which is great. You could just put usually about four or five different things that people can win, change to your office. Maybe you have massage. I've seen it where people have water bottles with their custom label on it. So it gets people to stop, spin the wheel, chat with you for a minute. They win a gift. Maybe, you know, what? Again, the gifts will depend upon what you have to offer in your office. And what you do is to be able to spin the wheel, and Dr. Allen's gonna love this part, is they have to fill out a little form which has their contact information on it. That's the gold. All of these events are about getting contact information. You know, the number of people that will come through, as you know, the number of contacts that you have the opportunity to collect far exceeds the number of people that you'll actually get that particular day for your services. So there's different strategies. There's things that we use for Community Wellness Day that ensure people have to come to your station. So if you're with us, you know what that is. But things like giveaways are great. Sometimes people can use things like T-shirts with their logos on them. Sometimes people can have contests. And again, it depends upon what screening tool you're using. If you're using something that has some type of wellness number or things like that, one of the new things that seems to really draw a lot of attention is people have to guess their score. So there's a lot of different fun things that you can do to engage people. It's all about engagement at these events. You want to engage as many people as possible. Dr. Allen?
Yeah, I wanted to add something to what you said about getting people's contact information. Realize that when you have an event of this magnitude, there's going to be people that are waiting to get into your station, depending on what kind of screening you're doing or whatever else is going on. And one of the things that we recommend to our clients that works with Dr. Randy is you can conduct a survey while they're waiting. In other words, you could ask them questions that are pertinent to what your specialty is, and at the same time, while they're waiting, say, while you're waiting, we're doing a survey, and we'd like to just ask you a couple of questions, and it gives you the ability to get their name and email. Now, in some of those situations where we have a service that we give our clients, and that service is for them to be able to access health-related information off our internet or off our website, or go in there and get health and lifestyle tips, whatever it is. And so as a reward for giving us, for answering the survey and giving us the contact information, we give them that access. So people are more willing to give you that information, knowing that there's going to be benefit and value to them.
Absolutely, and I highly recommend Dr. Allen's system. Anyone listening you know, can contact myself and I'll direct you to him. Something I use, a majority of our Community Wellness Day members use that as well. The important thing I really think that drives this point home is that what you need to really understand is you can't just stand there and have no way to engage with people and expect to really have a lot of outcomes. You know, I will talk to people that don't understand this, and they'll be at an event, and I'll say, well, about how many people came through? And they'll tell me, you know, 1,000 people, let's just say. How many people did you screen? I screened 8. How did you screen 8 people when 1,000 people came through? You know why? That's because they didn't have an engaging station. They didn't have a way to connect with people. They had nothing to offer people. They had nothing in exchange. And that's why this is really important. You have to get people engaged. So whether it's a spinny wheel or they're guessing a number or you're giving something out and then asking them to, you know, to help you out and you know, take this survey with you, get their information, let them know that, hey, we'd love to send you out some information on various health topics from time to time. I'm sure you'd be interested in that. And that actually brings me to our one of our next points is that, well, actually, I'm going to hold off on that because I really want to talk about something that a lot of people fail to do, and it's preparation. One of my biggest taglines that I use, and if anyone listening here ever comes through my program or coaches with me privately, I use the term preparation meets opportunity. And too many people think, well, I know how to do a screening. You know, I do this all the time, whatever your process is. I don't have to practice. Oh, I do screenings every week. You know, but I don't have to practice. What I'm here to tell you is you always have to practice. Not only you, but you have to practice with your team. This is another one of those things that goes back to appearance. All these things are going to tie together. You and your team have to practice this process. You have to practice. It should be part of, you know, if you're doing a lot of outside types of screenings, this should be a part of your regular team training where you're practicing this at all times. The reason is you should look like the most well-oiled machine to a total visitor standing there watching you. And what I mean by that is everyone on your team should know exactly what their process is. Everyone on your team should know exactly what they're supposed to be doing at every time. And if you don't practice this and just assume that everybody's cool with, you know, how things move along, I'm going to tell you, you're going to run into glitches. And it does two things. It looks bad for you, and it slows down your station. If it slows down your station, that's less people you're getting an opportunity to screen. So taking, you know, an hour every other week or whatever it might be and making sure that you're practicing this process, that everyone understands their jobs, because it is a multi-person process to really do it successfully. And I'll give you some idea of what I mean, is that you should have someone that's doing this survey that Dr. Allen talked about, or just taking their contact information so they get a chance to spin the wheel. Whatever it is, it's someone that's welcoming them to your station and then going through that process of gathering and collecting their information. Then, what is your screening process? Whoever is doing that, okay, that's the next person in line. They have to know how to hand people from one person to another, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, because that to me is probably one of the most important things. After the screening person, well, now it's going to go on to whoever's interpreting that information, okay? And then who's interpreting the information, it will go to whoever possibly is scheduling an appointment or reserving a seat for a workshop or a conversation with you, whatever that might be. So there's a lot of moving parts, and when everyone really practices and rehearses and knows their job so well, people are impressed with that. That's what they think their experience is going to be when they come to your office. You look organized, you look professional, you look efficient. They can expect that. Dr. Allen?
Yeah, I wanted to say that people should realize in the preparation of yourself and your team, you could also make volunteers part of your team. The people that believe in you and love what you do so much, they would love to participate in these events, and it'll give you more people at your station to help. And when someone comes to your station and they have one of these volunteers have a name tag, let's say, on their shirt that says their name and volunteer, they then are there singing your praises about what it is you do, and then the people are very impressed with, wow, what this person's doing, what this clinic's doing, what this hospital's doing, what this doctor's doing, is so important and so well received that they're literally, the patients are, the clients are literally volunteering to help get the message out in this community health program. Hugely powerful strategy, gives you a lot more players, and doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, I never want anyone to be deterred from either hosting a community health program or being out in their community doing other events because they may not have staff or they may have a very, very short staff kind of process. There are obviously, Dr. Allen shared probably the best place to get volunteers, but there are a lot of places to get volunteers in the community. We actually do a whole training on volunteers and where to get them. There are a lot of companies right in every community. Obviously, beyond your patients, you have family, friends, and you could always reach out to all kinds of, you know, churches and synagogues and religious institutions. But there's lots of volunteers in your neighborhood that would be willing to be, you know, a part of you doing something good for your community. So never let that hold you back. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have any staff. You know, how do I do something like this if I need multiple people at a station, or I don't have an office, or things like that? You know, just know that when you host a community health program like Community Wellness Day, we take you through all that, so you never have to worry about those things. They're all right in your backyard. You're just not tapping them because you don't know how to utilize them, and that's something that we do with you. So one of the things that I want to talk about that also I feel makes a huge difference that nobody really ever talks about or teaches anyone is being very personal with people. And what I mean by that is from the first contact that whoever is at your station has, and if that's a volunteer or a staff member greeting people, to all the way through your process to whoever's doing your screening, to you, to a staff member or a volunteer scheduling appointments, has to be personal. And this is really where you connect with people. This is, and what I mean by that is the greeter or the person with the screening forms should look at the name, right? We're going to put the person's name on the form and address them by name. So you always address people by name, and you never send them to the next part of your station, even if it's like a couple of feet away. People will get lost in a couple of feet, trust me. So if I was, you know, standing there and I was the one, you know, taking the information down, you know, I would just obviously welcome someone. But when it's their time to move to the screening station, I just say, Mr. Jones, come with me. We're going to bring you over to the screening station now. And then introduce Mr. Jones to whoever the screener is. Mr. Jones, this is Justin. Justin, this is Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, I leave you in great hands. Okay? That creates a totally different dynamic than me just saying you can go sit there, or you can, you know, you can, you're next in line, whatever it would be that sending them by themselves. And then the same thing when Justin has completed the screening, he's then going to bring them over to whoever's interpreting it, you know, again by name. Mr. Jones, come with me. Mr. Jones, this is Dr. Weinstein. Dr. Weinstein, this is Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, I leave you in great hands. Dr. Allen's going to tell you all about what your screening says, okay? And then, even at that part, we want to make sure that that when Dr. Weinstein is done and he's you know, determined what the next step is with this particular person, that whoever's scheduling, he walks them over. You know, he walks them over. You know, Mary, this is Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, this is one of our team members, Mary. Mary's going to take it from here. She's going to secure that time that we talked about for you to come into our office, or she's going to reserve that space for you at our workshop on Wednesday night for you and your wife, or whatever it might be. Always address people by name, look them in the eye, shake their hand, have a giant smile. It's all these things that make people respond to you, whether they're going to take advantage of your services right there or at some time in the future when you continue to communicate with them, you know, as Dr. Allen was talking about. So huge, huge variable that a lot of people miss out on is just being personal, you know, making people feel connected to you, because they will think of you when they have a health problem over, you know, going online and looking at someone. They're going to remember that they talk, you know, when you're eyeball to eyeball with someone and you're making them feel that you're genuinely interested in them, that's something that makes a lasting impression. Couple other points that I want to bring out is always have options for people. And this is something that I very rarely see, and I think a lot of people kind of miss the boat on this. In other words, whatever your service is, even if there's only one thing that you do, have other options. So we'll use this as an example. If I was doing a screening and my ultimate goal was to schedule people to come into the office through this process, but obviously even everyone you screen, no matter how good you are, and I consider myself really good at this process, you're not going to get everyone. So you want to have options so that you keep as many people in the game as possible. So in this case, it would be, all right, Mr. Jones, you know what? I see that you're not quite ready to go ahead and make an appointment. Let me tell you about something that I think you'd be interested in. We have a workshop this week in our office on Wednesday night, and I think we have a few spaces still left. We could reserve a seat for you and your wife on managing, on understanding and managing stress. And I think that's something that might give you this additional information that it looks like you need. Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? And then I'd walk Mr. Jones over, you know, to Mary. You know, Mary, can you please reserve a seat for Mr. Jones and his wife for a workshop on Wednesday night? You know, get his cell phone, get his email so we can make sure to confirm that with him later on in the week. Okay, that was an option. Also, you always invite people with someone. We'll do another option, and then we'll talk about why that's important in this setting. The third thing is, if you really see someone just totally not interested, one of the things that I like to do is just say to them, Mr. Jones, I want to thank you so much for being here with us today. It was really great to get an opportunity to chat with you and meet you for a few minutes. What I'd like to do is send you information from time to time on various health topics. I know you're going to find that interesting. Is that something that would be okay with you? And I'm shaking my head yes. As I'm saying, is that something that, you know, would you'd be interested in? Okay. What that does is I just asked Mr. Jones to send him information. So what that gives me a higher likelihood of him not unsubscribing when he gets something from me. That's the first point. The second point is that he's going to be looking for information from me. Okay. So I've kept him in the loop. Even though he's not interested in my services right now, okay, he's not interested in coming to a workshop, but I kept him in the loop, and that's one of the things that you want to do. That's why having options for people is so important. Dr. Allen?
You know, we did, for those people that have been with us from the very beginning, the first actually hangout we did on community health programs, I believe we did one on follow-up.
Yep.
And I think that what we taught during that session was is that the money's really in the follow-up. You'll get lots of people that will want to work with you immediately, but there's huge numbers of people that want to work with you, and the average person, you don't know the reason they're not ready to work with you then. They could be going on vacation. They may not have money. Their kids might be going to camp. It might be, you know, any of a million different reasons. But if you can stay in touch with them, eventually with time, you will actually convert them into a patient or client. And it takes anywhere from 10 to maybe 14 communications with someone before they even think of doing business with you. So that what Dr. Randy was talking about right now is critically important. You want to make sure you give them options. You want to make sure you keep them in the game. And you keep them in the game by sending them things that are of value to them, not just propaganda of what you do. In other words, what's in it for them that would entice them to want to work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. And just one more point in something that I mentioned. You always invite people to come either, you know, into your office to workshop or whatever it might be, with someone, whether it's a spouse, you know, a child, a family member, a coworker, a friend. When someone calls your office to come in, they have a different mindset than when you meet them at an event and you're scheduling them either to come in for an appointment or you're possibly, you know, having them come for a workshop. They haven't reached out to you in that kind of situation. So by bringing someone with them that they're comfortable with, that really ensures the chances that they're actually going to show up, because they're walking into a foreign place. So you just give them that comfort level, and then it's another pair of ears hearing your message, which we love. Excuse me one second. I'm going to cough. I muted myself not to cough. That kind of takes us through, you know, some of the most important points that I think there are. The only other thing that I want to mention, which is really important, and I would definitely put this down as a note, Dr. Allen, is that you have to be flexible. And what I mean by that is, I see this all the time. If someone has a station and they're using a particular type of technology, let's say, to do a screening, and for whatever reason, even though they practiced, even though they did everything that they were supposed to do, that technology is failing, or maybe it's just slowing up your line and you have this long line of people waiting to meet you and be screened and, you know, hear about what you have to offer. You gotta have a plan B in all of these types of situations. And it's just happened at an event that I was at. Somebody was using a particular technology that always works really well and usually keeps the process very streamlined, and for whatever reason, it wasn't working great that day, and, you know, we had to be flexible, and we tossed the technology, and we just started talking to people. Now, that wasn't our ideal plan, and that wasn't what we set out to do, but again, you have to be flexible, because the, you know, alternative to not being flexible is working within a process that's really not serving you that day, and probably not getting an opportunity to talk to, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of people, whereas at some point you just go, hey, this isn't working, you know, let's just, you know, spend a few minutes talking to people. Or sometimes people will have a plan B type of non-technology screening process that they can have that's not their first choice, but, you know, in the event that something doesn't happen, that's always great. And I have to tell you, when it comes to technology types of screening, you really always need to have a plan B, because I can't tell you how many times, no matter, everything works great when you practice it, and then for some reason you get to a venue and, you know, maybe you need internet and it's not a strong signal, or you need to your computer to send to a wireless printer and for some reason they're not communicating that day. You know, there's just so many things that can go wrong when technology is in the game, that we always want to make sure to, you know, to kind of have a backup plan that doesn't make the whole thing a wash, you know, and really, you know, interfere with the outcomes that we know that you can get. Dr. Allen, anything that you want to jump in with? Otherwise, I think we've given it a good game today.
No, I just think the only thing I want to say is, and what made me think of it is, I just got an email from one of my clients, and one of the things with our clients, we do a lot of artwork for them, and I'm going to actually bring myself back if I can while we finish this, then I'll come back and close it out. Hopefully I'll come back. But anyway, I always require a photo, because we do interviews of everyone who's our system client. We create a podcast for them. We do all these things. And they just sent me an email and said, I practice in Hawaii, and I wear only Hawaiian shirts to practice in. Would that be an appropriate photo to use for the things I do in the community? And I will tell you, it is not. Here's the reason why. And I know Dr. Randy mentioned this earlier, but people have an image of what you are as a professional. There's a reason, if you watch CNBC, the professionals on there are always wearing a jacket and a tie. There's a reason that people you see that are interviewed are always professionally dressed. Now, if you're a personal trainer, your professional dress might be, you know, a button-down shirt, short sleeve with the name of your business on it. That might be professional, but if you're a healthcare professional, they expect you to look like a professional when you're in the outside. So that is such an important point, because if you want them to interact with you and see you as the best and well-known leader in healthcare in your community, you need to look the part, regardless of how you practice inside of your office. I just wanted to stress that, because to me it's so important.
Yeah, I know. I get this too all the time, Dr. Allen. You know, well, I wear a golf shirt in my office. Well, that's okay. If within the walls of your office that works for you, I personally, anyone I work with, would tell them, you need to put a shirt on. You need to put a shirt and a tie on. But, you know, we're New Yorkers, so maybe there's a little bit of that, you know, bred into us too. But
someone,
you know,
just sent me, a photo of I needed a photo for their branding, and they sent me a photo of themselves, their wife, and their kids sitting on a giant Adirondack chair. You know, remember from the Catskills? It was one of those that were so big all four can sit on, and goes and said, "Can we use this picture?"
You know, here's something really interesting that I probably learned about 25 years ago. There are people that probably would not care how you're dressed, honestly. They're just not into that. But there are people that very much respond to how you professionally or unprofessionally you appear. So to get everyone, just make sure you step up your game, look professional. I don't care what your profession is, whether, you know, you're a doctor, you're a metabolic type, you're a physical therapist, you work in a hospital, whatever it is, you're considered within the healthcare profession. And you know what? People expect a guy to have a shirt and a tie on or be wearing a suit, and they expect a woman to be in professional attire. That's what they expect from you, and that's what you need to give them. And I never understand when people resist that.
Yeah, you never want to filter. You never want to filter your audience and offend anybody. Nobody's offended when you dress professionally. Lots of people are offended when you dress non-professionally.
Yeah. I'm going to just give you one example, and then we're going to let Dr. Allen tie this up. My mother goes to this doctor who's one of the, like, premier GI specialists in New York, right? Like, really, guy that's in all the magazines and everything. Do you know what she always says about him? Every time she brings him up, she goes, "Oh, you got to see. He wears the nicest custom-made shirts, and he's got, you know, the little his initials are on his sleeve, and the tie is that." That's what she talks about. So, you know, that's what people respond to.
Absolutely, no question about it. I've seen that happen a million times, and very, very important. And again, also the neatness factor of your station, the organization of your station, and the people that are at your station need to be appropriately dressed also. Yeah. If you give them a golf shirt with the name of your clinic on it, the name of your hospital, the name of your pharmacy, and they're all dressed alike, that would work too. You don't want them to have a free-for-all.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Allen, I think we've pretty much used up our time today, so I'm gonna say goodbye and see everybody next week. I'm going to throw it back to Dr. Allen to close us out.
Okay, and let me see if I can bring up my – there I am, as long as I'm blue boxed. Again, this is another episode of Building Your Wellness Brand Within Your Community. Today's episode was brought to you by Community Wellness Day. Every great opportunity begins with the first step. Take that step with Community Wellness Day, the system, the official marketing program of healthcare professionals everywhere, and the VIP app, the only application that allows you to bring your live hangouts to the desktop, iPhone, and iPads of all the people that have you inside their circles. I'll bring myself back, hopefully. Yep, here I come. On behalf of myself, Dr. Allen Weinstein, and our host, Dr. Randy Ross, we look forward to next week when we'll see you again for another episode of Building Your Wellness Brand Within Your Community.
All right.
Have
bye,
a great
everybody.
Day, everybody.